There's something else you should know about the Shia. There's many things you may have heard about the Shia school of thought. Here's 10 that happen to be true.
Number one.
Shia Muslims recite the adhan, or the call to prayer, differently to other Muslims. Sunnis and Shias have the same adhan, except for a slight difference. After saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Shia Muslims also recite Ashhadu anna Aliyun Waliyullah. They also recite Hayya la khayril amal. Sunni Muslims recite neither of the two. So what's going on here? Well, first of all, according to the jurists of the Shia school of thought, to say Ashhadu anna Aliyun Waliyullah is not a part of the adhan. Imam Ali is certainly the Wali of Allah, the commander of the faithful, and the first of the 12 Imams. But to recite this testimony in the adhan is not obligatory. To recite Hayya la khayril amal, however, is. And according to numerous hadith, it was recited in the time of the Holy Prophet, and it was only until the time of the second Khalif that it was omitted from the adhan.
Number two.
Shia Muslims perform the wudu differently to other Muslims. Muslims everywhere perform the wudu, or the ritual ablution, before performing the prayers. Shia Muslims wash the face, they wash the arms, they wipe the head, and then they wipe the 2 feet. And this is exactly what the Holy Quran says to do. Oh, you who believe, when you rise up to prayer, wash your faces and your hands as far as the elbows, wipe your heads and your feet to the ankles.
Number three.
Shia Muslims use a turba, one of these, when they pray. All Muslims prostrate on the ground while performing the prayers. While many place their foreheads on the carpet or on a cloth or on the prayer mat, this is not considered permissible in the Shia school of thought. According to Shia Ahkam, the rulings, prostration must be performed on an all-natural substance. And this is because the Holy Prophet did this. According to a popular Sunni source, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated, "I saw Allah's Apostle prostrating in mud and water and saw the mark of mud on his forehead." Maymuna also narrated, "Allah's Apostle used to pray on a khumra, a small mat made from palm fibers, and he used to prostrate on that." In fact, according to Al-Shawkani, another Sunni scholar, over 10 companions of the Holy Prophet also witnessed him doing this. Imam Sadiq, the 6th of the 12 holy Imams, explained how prostrating on an earth-like substance expresses the humility before the Creator. He said it is not appropriate for one to place his forehead on something which stubborn materialists worship, such as something that we can wear or something that we can eat. Prostration on earth is the best way. And of all the things which are considered permissible for us to prostrate upon, the most recommended is the earth from the sacred land of Karbala.
Number four.
Shia Muslims absolutely love the Ahlul Bayt. Before his departure from this temporary world, the Holy Prophet said, "I am leaving behind 2 very weighty things. So long as you will remain connected with them, you will never go astray after my departure. One of them is the Book of Allah, and the other is my progeny, my Ahlul Bayt." Muslims who truly love the Holy Prophet and love Allah will obey the Holy Prophet. The Holy Quran states, "Tell them, if you love God, follow me." Shia Muslims don't love the Ahlul Bayt solely for their virtues, but rather because it's a commandment of the Holy Prophet, which means it's a commandment of Allah.
Number 5.
Shia Muslims believe in the concept that the 12 holy Imams are immaculate, or infallible. Infallibility in the Shia school of thought is the concept that those who are sent by Allah to guide and protect humanity must be sinless human beings, meaning that while having the human ability to sin, they don't, because of the status bestowed upon them by Allah and their high level of faith in Him. And the concept of infallibility is not solely for the Ahlul Bayt, but rather for the Holy Prophet and all the prophets and messengers before him, because a perfect guide for humanity must be free of committing sins. And it makes perfect sense. Think about it. Imagine if somebody told you not to drink alcohol, but on the weekend they were chugging it down. Imagine someone told you not to steal, but somebody stole my hat. Imagine if somebody told you to smile and be well-mannered like this.
"Smile and be well-mannered, you foul-smelling ape. Do your prayers, you despicable human being."
We have a word for such people. It's called hypocrisy. And it would totally defeat the purpose of sending a messenger to guide humanity in the first place.
Number 6.
Shia Muslims practice a thing called taqiyya. Anytime you try and explain anything about the Shia school of thought, there's always that one guy in the middle of the room who goes,
No, don't listen. He's doing taqiyya, he lying.
Taqiyya, or dissimulation, means concealing or disguising one's beliefs, convictions, ideas, feelings, opinions, and or strategies at a time of imminent danger to save oneself for the sake of the deen from physical and or mental injury. A basic understanding of taqiyya is that you can lie to protect yourself. The Holy Quran states, "Whoever disbelieves in Allah, except for one who is forced to renounce his religion while his heart is secure in faith." From this verse, it is clear that one who is under pressure and is forced to utter disbelief, while inside he still believes, such a person will not be punished because he's only told a lie out of compulsion. So basically, if somebody's holding a gun to your head and telling you to say that you love President Trump, you have the choice to respond to him by saying, I love Trump, to save your life. But what certain people do is that whenever logical proofs are presented to them, they say,
no, no, don't listen to him. He's doing taqiyya. Don't listen. He's lying.
Take a chill pill. I recommend the red one. If someone's life is not in any immediate danger, why would they lie?
Number 7.
Shia Muslims visit shrines. These beautiful pilgrimages have been painted by some
takfiris
as though they're some sort of pagan ritualism riddled with shirk. Are there not a hadith indicating that the Holy Prophet himself would visit graveyards? According to these ahadith, did the Holy Prophet not visit the graves? The Holy Quran also speaks about erecting masjids upon graves.
Number 8.
Shia Islam is a political religion. If you thought that Shia Islam is a political movement, you're absolutely right.
Read all about it. Imam Khomeini says,
anyone maintaining that religion is separate from politics has no knowledge of either religion or politics. The religion of Islam came to reform society, to lead the people of every nation to a right course. It came with laws of justice to establish peace, to govern the affairs of people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, in the right manner and create social welfare and economic systems in order to eradicate poverty, to eradicate inequality. In fact, one of the very first things that the Holy Prophet did was to establish a government.
Yet people try and separate religion and politics.
They say things like, oh, politics is dirty.
Of course politics is dirty.
And it's gonna remain dirty until good people get involved.
2017 and the world is an awful place to live. And it will stay that way until you try and change it. Imam Khomeini explained that the politics he talked about was a perfect form of politics. Politics is meant to guide people and take into account all interests of the society and man. This is the politics of the prophets.
Number 9.
Shia Muslims are in the minority. Question: if the Shia Muslims are on the right path, why are they in the minority? And why do so many others,
takfiris,
consider them not to be within the folds of Islam?
If our criteria for finding the truth is whatever the majority of people are doing, then we would never have been in the party of Ibrahim in the time of Ibrahim, nor the party of Isa in the time of Isa, nor the party of Musa in the time of Musa.
The Holy Quran states, but no one believed Musa except some youths among his people. How many people fought with the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Badr? A mere 313 against over 1,000. And the party of Allah was still successful.
Number 10.
Shia Muslims believe in mutta, or temporary marriage. Oh, looks like we're out of time. No worries, inshallah. We'll see you next time in episode 21. This was the 20th episode of Biscuit. We've made a heck of a lot of progress, alhamdulillah. We hope you've enjoyed it so far. Inshallah, we'll see you next time for the 21st episode.